Please join in the prayer for understanding of God's word. As you led Simeon to embrace the infant Jesus, guide us, Holy Spirit, by your gracious light, that we may welcome your saving word. Amen. Our reading today is from God's word, Luke 2, verses 20 through 40. When the time came for their ritual cleansing, in accordance with the law from Moses, they brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. It's written in the law of the Lord that every firstborn male will be dedicated to the Lord. They offered a sacrifice in keeping with what's stated in the law of the land, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. A man named Simeon was in Jerusalem. He was righteous and devout. He eagerly anticipated the restoration of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. The Holy Spirit revealed to him that he wouldn't die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Led by the Spirit, he went into the temple area. Meanwhile, Jesus' parents brought the child to the temple so that they could do what was customary from the law. Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God. He said, "Now, Master, let your servant go in peace, according to your word, because mine eyes have seen your salvation. You prepared this salvation in the presence of all peoples. It's a light for revelation to the Gentiles and a glory for your people Israel." His father and mother were amazed by what was said about him. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This boy is assigned to be the cause of the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that generates opposition, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your innermost being too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, who belonged to the tribe of Asher. She was very old. After she married, she lived with her husband for 7 years. She was now an 84-year-old widow. She never left the temple area, but worshiped God with fasting and prayer night and day. She approached at that very moment and began to praise God and to speak about Jesus to everyone who was looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Mary and Joseph had completed everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to their hometown, Nazareth, in Galilee. The child grew up and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. The word of God for the people of God.
I thank our sister in Christ, Marilyn, for the wonderful job that she does. Excellent job each and every Sunday. And she also marks my page in the hymnal for future liturgists. You know, also, I was thinking, before I have the prayer, I want you to watch along with me. I mentioned about the helicopter pad on the roof. I want you to watch along with me. Who walks outside of the church and goes like this and walks and everything? So, let's pray. Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for this word that's amazing, that continues. As we start thinking about after Christmas sales and all of that hecticness, Christmas continues. Continues throughout the year because that idea of gift, a gift of salvation, is something that is at the core of who we are as your people. A gift that keeps on giving. A gift that never ends. The gift of Jesus. Have us be open to that gift, receiving it once again, this time together and every day. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Go ahead and look at somebody right now. If they've dozed off, gently wake them. We don't want anybody screaming out, being startled, anything like that. Go ahead and look them right in the eyes. Go ahead and look at somebody right in the eyes. You're really going to want to do this. And just look them right in the eyes and say, "You're a handful." So some of you said that with a bit too much enthusiasm. Like, you could just hear it pouring out. It was like a great release, you know, to do that. You're a handful. It's okay being a handful, because if we're a handful, then we're following the example of our Savior. Did you know that? Because he was a handful. He was an armful. He really was. And he continued to be a handful for the rest of his life. Because what did he do? He changed the status quo. He changed the way things were done. He changed what was seen as right in the world. He changed everything. He changed all of creation. He was a handful. And he was a handful right from the beginning. In this story, this is after a lot of traveling. Some people travel around this time of year to be with certain other people. And if you have ever traveled with children, you know that sometimes that doesn't necessarily increase the Christmas spirit, does it? Any amens out there? Okay, yeah. Maybe. All right. You start hearing voices like, are we there yet? Things like that, you know, other comments as well. The Holy Family has been traveling. And they find themselves in this particular scripture passage, at this part of their journey, at the temple. And they are following what has been laid out and followed for years and years and years and years and years. A dedication of the firstborn son. And this is done in a particular manner. And they even have the particular sacrifice ready, don't they? Their sacrifice shows that, in the form of doves, that they are not a family of great means. They don't have a whole lot of money. But that's okay. As per the law, they were doing what they were supposed to do. And then there are two individuals that come into play that we understand are senior citizens. Do you know any senior citizens? By the way, anybody know any? Any aware of any senior citizens? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. Simeon has been waiting quite a long time. And we understand that he's been waiting on God. And he hasn't complained. And he's waited for years and years and years for a sign from God. Continues to show up every day at the temple. Continues to pray, fast, bless other children. And he sees this family coming forward. One commentator points out that he saw this family and realizing the difficult time that they were trying to be a family, trying to raise a family, the difficult, oppressive environment of the Roman government, and seeing their offering, realizing that they didn't have a whole lot of money. One commentator said that Simeon probably thought, well, this family really does have their hands full. It's going to be a tough road for them. There's so much more to what he experiences as well. Because he's been blessing children all this time, and yet this child is the one that blesses him. This is the one that reminds him that God keeps his promises. This is the child that he has been waiting for. He's loved all the other children, reminded those families as they came forward that God's grace was at work in their lives as well. But this one, this child, is the source of God's grace in an even more abundant manner. And I can't even imagine what he was experiencing or thinking, what was going through his heart and mind and soul as he was holding, literally holding, the Christ child in his arms after all this time of waiting. Experiencing God's grace is something that we have the joy and privilege of experiencing every day. And while we might not necessarily be literally holding the Christ child, the Christ child is in our hearts. For Simeon, what's even more remarkable is that of all this time of waiting, simply receiving that child, that source of grace, promise, and salvation, gave him such peace that he says, "Lord, take me home. Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." And maybe one of the greatest understatements of all of Scripture is the very next verse. Mary and Joseph, long trip, traveling, poor, hungry, coming to the temple, following, being devout Jews, following what they needed to do, and now hearing this holy man say it. And now what is the next line exactly right after Simeon is done sharing those words? "And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him." Yeah, I bet. That's kind of the understatement of the whole passage. At that point, Mary and Joseph knew there was something incredible and remarkable that was going on. Could they completely understand it? I'm not sure if they could. But they knew something remarkable was taking place. This only emphasized that truth and that reality. It doesn't stop there. Anna, a prophet, was also there. She had never left the temple. Quite remarkable. Another person of faith. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, anyone that was in hearing distance, would realize that this child was special. Have you ever seen, you all have, the response of people to babies? Okay? What happens? People who are highly intelligent, sharp, respectful, all of a sudden, did anybody want understood what I just say? Do we expect the baby to understand what we just said? No, but as long as we get that baby to smile and the eyes light up, what happens? Wow. Gives us chills. What an easy way to see God's presence in the world. I think that's one of the reasons why we respond in that way. Because through babies, we're reminded of God's creative touch, and we see God once again. This baby was something even more special, something profound. And he was a handful. Later on in his life, the people at the highest levels of power would consider him very dangerous. Dangerous to their control over people. Dangerous to their wealth. Dangerous to their power. Dangerous to their authority. Because what was he saying? God is in charge, not man. That's a profound statement. How do we respond? How do we respond to this baby in our lives? To this person who has come. To this person who changes things. You know, in the world, we understand that oftentimes there's a way things work. There's a rise and then there's a fall. And we think about individuals who have been interested only in accumulating wealth and power throughout history. What happens? There's that rise, and then there's that fall. With Jesus, it works the other way. There's a fall, and then there's a rise. Think about it. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. From John chapter 12, verse 24. Jesus, as an adult now, teaching, offering a reality of what life is with God through him. Dying to ourselves and yet rising new as God's creations. I have been crucified with Christ. Galatians chapter 2, 19. I bear the death of Christ now. I deny myself. I am persecuted because I am in sync with Christ and out of sync with the world. We fall, but because of the salvation that we have with God through Jesus Christ, we don't remain there. We rise once again. This baby is important. This baby changes everything. We receive this baby. God sends this baby for us because God loves us so deeply, intimately, surprisingly, and powerfully. As we light the candles of Advent once more, we remember hope. We remember that God is preparing us for something even greater. We remember joy, not just happiness, but deep abiding joy that we have from knowing God through Jesus. And we remember happiness as well. And what is at the center of all of these other things? Christ Jesus, the Christ candle. This morning, we remember that and we celebrate that. Even as we start thinking about packing up all the stuff that we've put up, we don't pack away Jesus. He reigns. God has sent him. We behold him and we realize God really does love me. God gave his all for me. So that I could have hope. So that I could have joy. So that I could experience love. So that I could experience that light burning in me, that light of Jesus Christ, all year long. So that we could sing joy to the world every day, not simply at Christmas. Joy to the world. Our Lord has come. And He's come for you. What are you going to do with this news? What are you going to do with this baby? That is our question. That is our challenge at times. And it's also our joy. God loves you more than you can imagine. Because of this baby, because of Jesus, we have hope every day. Join with me in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for how you have reminded us. As we are already starting to move on in our own minds to the next part of the calendar year, your timing is so different. Just as Simeon and Anna waited and waited upon you to work in their lives, help us to do that as well, so that when we understand that you have given us this Jesus, this child, the Christ, our Savior, you've given him for us as well, everything changes. Everything must change, but it changes for the better. Thank you, Lord, for the love conveyed in all of this as you continue to mold our lives and change us into the people you would have us be. In all things, we pray, in the name of the Christ child. Amen.